If you have your Bibles this morning, look in John chapter 3. I know Brother Duke was wanting kind of titles on my messages, and this particular title has fit the same. I put it on several different messages, but it's a good title just to use on many messages. I saw this sign about many years ago, driving, probably 25, close to 20, over 20 years ago anyway, driving to northern Michigan to supply preach, went by this campground, and they obviously were a Christian campground, and they had this sign out there by the road, and it just struck my, and I've just never been able to forget it. It's just such a simple sentence and such a profound truth. The sign said, "It's a relationship, not religion." And I thought, so true. If you go calling, you know, if you go anywhere, go door to door, you talk to people, they all have a religion, you know. I mean, you talk to people, you know, and you begin to witness to them or talk to them about Christ or invite them to church or whatever, the first thing almost out of their mouth is, well, I'm Presbyterian or I'm Methodist or I'm, you know, they have a religion, but do they have a relationship? And I want us to look in the New Testament at three individuals this morning. And read about them and take a look at their lives. And first here in John chapter 3 is Nicodemus. In verse 1 it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? We want to hold your place there, and let's turn over to Acts chapter 10. I want us to read about a man named Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, find a man named Cornelius. Says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, and gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now skip down to verse 25. For the sake of time, we'll move down here to this. And it says, when Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him. He's got Peter now at his house. He sent for him, and Peter comes in. It says, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he walked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said to them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to company unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodgeth in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here and present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how that God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are all witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, how they slew and hanged him on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even us who did eat and drink after him who rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, and to give all the prophets witnesses that through this name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And for when they heard them speak with tongues and magnifying God, then Peter answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of our Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. The next and last person I want us to read about here is Lydia. Turn with me over a few chapters to chapter 16 in Acts. It says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region," in verse 6, "of region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed by Mysia to come down to Troas, and in a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony. And when we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a river where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and she was baptized in her household. She besought us, saying, 'If ye judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into mine house and abide there.' And she constrained us." So we read about these three people. And what did these three people that we just read about have in common? The one thing that they all had in common is they had religion. They all had religion. Many who claim to be Christians in this world today, that's what all they have. They have a form of religion, a form of worship, a ritual that they go through. And so if I want you to take a moment with me and we just look at these three individuals a little bit in detail this morning, and we look at Nicodemus, and I want us to think of what kind of person was he. I believe we find there's many Nicodemuses in this world today. Nicodemus, if you will, when he came to the Lord there in John chapter 3, it says he was a man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And so as the Lord spoke to him in verse 10, the Lord literally called him a master of Israel. So he was well educated in the things of Scripture, in the things of God. And today we might refer to him as having a doctor in theology. You know, we might say he has a PhD in the things of God. He was one that, you know, today would say people would probably refer to him as Dr. Nicodemus. You know, he might be teaching at a seminary. He might be teaching the very word of God to many students. And there are many in that place in this world today. That's all that they have is religion. They know it from one end to the other, but they've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to realize that there may be people you know in your family or in your life that are like Nicodemus. He was a teacher of the things of God and yet did not fully even understand them when Jesus was talking with them. He said, aren't you a master in these things and you don't understand this? That you need something? He needed to hear something. He needed to be saved. He was lost. Amen. He was lost. He needed to be born again. That's what the Lord's telling you. You're a master. You know all this. But you still need to trust in Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. Amen. Jesus was teaching him about salvation. He needed a new birth. He didn't understand it. He says, how can I be born again? And he needed more than what he had. Nicodemus had great knowledge, but he was still lacking the most important thing, the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. And how many are teaching and preaching in so-called churches today, or even the Lord's churches, if you will, today, that have never really heard the Word of God, have never had that new birth, do not have that relationship. Many children go up in church and have great knowledge and great understanding, but that's not enough. That's not enough. You have to be born again, and that's what God was telling Nicodemus. Knowing religion and knowing all about it is not going to get you into heaven. You can know, you can stand there and just quote and know scripture and know even your doctrine inside and out. I've known many people that knew all the truth. You know, they seem to understand everything about local church, church authority and everything else, and they're lost. And they've admitted it themselves that they're lost. You can have a great understanding of head knowledge and have nothing in your heart. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's just very simple. You're never going to see it. You're never going to see the kingdom of God on this earth. Understand, you're never going to see the kingdom of God in heaven. You're blind unless you've been born again. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit has to work in your heart. You have to be born of the Spirit. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. He needed a work of God in his heart. He needed a spiritual birth. Salvation is more than just knowledge and understanding of biblical things. And everyone must experience this birth in order to be saved. And we see that in Nicodemus that you can know all about God and the Word of God and still die and go to hell, because that's where he was at. You must be born again. That's what the Lord was saying. And later, I believe that there's evidence, you know, that God gave us that Nicodemus believed. Amen. I mean, he went with Joseph of Arimathea and wanted the body of Christ to take care of it. I believe that, you know, the Lord gave us this account of what he needed. But next, let's look at Cornelius for a moment here this morning. And look at Cornelius. And I'm certain we can look at Cornelius and say that there's many people out there that are like Cornelius in this world that we know. And so this says there was a certain man, called Cornelius, and he was a centurion. And it says in verse 2 there of Acts chapter 10, it says, he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. And that's so common today. But common in my lifetime, where there were many people that, you know, you could go to their home and you would not swear in their home. You would not take God's name vain in their home. And they would sit down, and before they had their meal, they would say grace. And they would, you know, they were God-fearing people. And they were teaching their children how to be God-fearing, good, respecting, upright citizens. But that's, you know, they didn't themselves have anything. I remember seeing families like that, you know. And they were just morally good people. And it says, so Cornelius was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. And look at what it says. He gave much alms. This was a man who gave to, you know, how many people, you know, give to the church? There's people out there in the world that, you know, that they give money to the church, not even saved. You know, they go to church, they take their family to church because that's a good thing to do. And they want that church there, and they feel that somehow that's the right thing. And so they give alms and to people, and they pray to God always. And there's people, I believe, that they're praying, but they have nothing in their heart. They really don't have that relationship. And we find here how the Lord brought Simon to him. But looking at this man, he was a God-fearing man. He was a praying man. And he was even fasting and praying. Amen. I mean, you know, I have a hard time fasting, I'll be honest with you. My wife and I try it sometimes, and we both kind of fail, you know. We both have all our excuses why we can't do it. Cornelius was fasting. He's a lost man, but he was fasting. I believe he was desiring to know more, and he was had a desire in his heart. But he was lost. He hadn't received the Holy Spirit. And he was, you know, certainly he taught his house to fear. He was a giving man. He was a praying man. He was a godly man by world standards, a devout man, it says. He was, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. And he prayed to God always. It wasn't like he just did it, you know, just grace. He didn't just say, you know, there's some people you go in their home, the only prayer that's ever said is grace. But I believe that Cornelius prayed more than just saying grace in his home. He prayed to God always. And later it tells us that he, you know, not only was he praying, but he was fasting, and that's when the angel of God appeared to him. So I want you to look at who Cornelius was. He wasn't an idol worshiper. Who was he worshiping? He was worshiping the God of heaven. He just wasn't worshiping it in truth. He was worshiping, he didn't have a relationship, but he was praying to the God of heaven. He wasn't a heathen. He didn't have an idol in his home. He was teaching his children the right kind of things, that they needed to fear the God of heaven, not to fear, you know, Baal. And so that's the kind of man that Cornelius was, but he was lost. And he was worshiping the true God, but he was praying to the true God, but he too needed a spiritual birth. And God sent a man to him. God sent someone to him to preach the gospel to him. Like Nicodemus, he needed to hear the word of God. He needed to hear that what he had wasn't enough. You know, religion isn't enough. And so that's a good question for you today, is what you have enough in your heart? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you? How many people do you know that fear God and teach their family to fear God, that are giving and helping and good people and praying people? And you look at them and you say, well, they must be a Christian. But you know, the Lord pondereth the hearts. The Lord knows the heart. Yet they may need to hear the word of God because they are like Cornelius. They need to be saved. There are many good people on their way to hell in this world. But let's look at the last person here, Lydia. Lydia, in Acts chapter 16, there in verse 12, it says, from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. You see the Holy Spirit working in this, and to me this is a wonderful picture here. I mean, you see the Holy Spirit working in the life of Cornelius, bringing Peter to him. You see Paul having a vision and the Holy Spirit saying, you need to go over here. And, you know, it wasn't just Lydia, because the Philippian jailer and then the whole church was established. You know how many times I think about things like that? I can tell you, I could sit here and tell you stories that of the working of the hand of the Lord. You know where I saw that sign that said it's relationship, not a religion? I saw that over 20 years ago on my way to northern Michigan, and I saw it in the town of Cadillac, Michigan, and there was no church there. There's no church there. And, you know, and the church that I was going to fill in at was where the Lord ended up putting my son at 19 years old to do a mission work with just a handful of about four or five people. And my son was thinking, you know, he's dedicated to that, you know, and he was the point to where, you know, he's going to buy a house up there. He's going to buy a house. And my son called me one day and he says, Dad, I don't know what to do. I've got this down payment. I'd give this man on this house. And he says, I drive through Cadillac, Michigan on the way up to Frankfort, you know, every day from Flint, or every week going back and forth to preach. And he says, just like Paul, he says, the Lord is just telling me, I got to start a work here in Cadillac. And he said, I don't know, I got this down payment on this house up there. And I said, I'll tell you what. I said, if the Lord's telling you to go to Cadillac, you better go. The same thing sort of happened with my son. My wife called me one day, and he was at GMI, Kettering University, and he was in there, and I was kind of, you know, you get happy for your child. You think he's going to be an engineer. He's going to be this. He's going to be that, you know. And he's going to, you know. And my wife called me, and she says, Mark's at Kettering, and I don't know what to tell you. You got to go see him. This is long before he surrendered. This is before he surrendered to preach. And I went there, and I pulled up in front of Kettering, and I had my dad speech all down, you know. I had my dad's speech, you know, you got to put your nose to the grindstone. You can't quit now. You just started college, you know. I had that all prepared, and I pulled up, and he's just sitting there, and the tears just running down his face. And I thought, this is more than quitting college. And I just got out of the car, and I walked up to him, and he said, Dad, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. And I said, well, wherever you're supposed to be, you better get there. You know, wherever what God wants you to do, you better go. He surrendered to preach, and he went up to Frankfurt, ministered to those people, and then he drove through that town where I saw this sign, and he felt burdened to start a work there, and I told him, I said, well, the man that's got the house, just call him and tell him. Just tell him what you just told me. I said, you tell that man that the Lord has put you in Cadillac, and just see what he says. He called up that guy, and he says, I'm sorry, I can't buy your house. God has intended for me to be living in Cadillac. And the man just said, fine. Gave him his money back. Did no problem, you know. And the Lord will work all these things out. But I look at, there's so much that I can see when you think of how God brings people. And I don't know how much time I got to tell you things, but I want to brag on the Lord today and what the Lord does. But the Lord put him there, and he began to do a work there in Cadillac. And just, it's a miracle how my pastor is there. It is a miracle of the Lord, because at the time my son was there, Ryan was a lost man working for a construction company. And the strangest thing is I was at Brother Graber's in Dayton, Ohio, at Fairborn, and Brother Forrest Keener was there. And Forrest Keener said to me, he says, he's here from Michigan, right? And I said, yeah. And he says, I'm coming up. I got to go preach up in Grand Rapids, Michigan at a church up there. And I said, Grand Rapids? I said, I don't know of a church in Grand Rapids that believes any truth at all, you know, Brother Keener. And he goes, well, I think it's Grand Rapids. And then he said, well, maybe it's Big Rapids. And I said, I don't know of a church in Big Rapids. Grand Rapids, Big Rapids, I don't know. And so then the next night he comes to me and he goes, it's Luther. And I know where Luther's at. It's close to Cadillac. And I said, I don't really know of a church in Luther. I said, who is this guy? He says, well, this guy by the name of John von Dulaski, he's come to the doctrines of grace, and he's wanting me to come teach grace and local church to where he's at. And I said, okay. Meanwhile, Ryan's over here, Lord's saving his soul. He's in some goofy Baptist church that doesn't believe anything. And the Lord is bringing him out of that Baptist church over to John von Dulaski, where John von Dulaski's teaching Ryan Austin about grace. Anyway, that church didn't accept grace. They ended up throwing John von Dulaski out and left Ryan hanging. He didn't know what to do. He's coming to the understanding of grace. But I called and told my son, all this is going on. I called my son and I said, you know, Forrest Keener says there's somebody over in Luther that knows the truth of grace, and they're looking to, you know, have Forrest Keener come preach. Well, Forrest Keener never did go preach there. That's the weirdest thing. Never did go preach. Just a conversation that I had. And so my son goes down there, finds John, meets him, meets Ryan, meets these men. And out of that, a Bible study in Cadillac, comes Ryan to a Bible study. I met him years ago. I didn't know who he was. I was sitting there Tuesday night. I was up there visiting my family. And I'm sitting down, and Ryan sits down next to me, and I don't even know who he is. And I just said, pray, Lord, show this man the truth. You know, and he's my pastor now. Isn't that amazing? The working of God. So you think of Lydia and Cornelius and how God, you know, sent someone to them and brought someone to them and taught them. And, you know, and just it's amazing how the Holy Spirit worked in bringing Paul and Silas to where Lydia was. Now I want you to look where they found her. Look back here. Where did they find her? On the Sabbath day, she was gathered with some women by the river having prayer. And what's it say? which worshiped God. She wasn't worshiping Baal. She wasn't worshiping a heathen god. If you will, I look at this and she's at a ladies' prayer meeting. That's where she's at. It's on the Lord's Day, down by the river, where the ladies gather for prayer, and that's where they found Lydia. Went there, and they preached to her. And so, it says here in verse 14, and a certain woman, you know, salvation is personal. I mean, he's brought Paul and Silas right to Lydia. Right to her. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. You see, that's the thing. The Lord opened her hearing. The gospel was preached, and the Lord said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Lydia heard. And not only did she hear, but the Lord performed that heart surgery in her heart. Amen. Opened her old stony heart, you know, whose heart the Lord openeth, and she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. So we find that she was a worshiper. She was attending a prayer meeting. How many people would you know that would fit into that character? That were, you know, faithful to church and worshiped God and even went to Wednesday night prayer, if you will, and were faithful, but yet that's all they had. Lydia needed to hear someone preach the gospel to her because she was lost, and God was working to send Paul and Silas to her. So here we see how the Lord led Paul to preach to her. She needed to hear the word of God. She needed that spiritual birth. She needed more than just head knowledge. She needed more than church worship. She needed more than a prayer meeting. She needed the Lord, and she needed to be born again. How many people in the world are like Lydia and Cornelius and Nicodemus? They attend church regularly. They may even go to prayer meetings. They go to Bible studies. They're good people, giving people, maybe teachers of the Word of God, Sunday school teachers, and they could still be lost in their sins. And what that's was saying, all three of these, what they had wasn't enough. They just had religion and not a relationship. Some very smart people, I believe. They all needed to hear the Word of God. Three religious people with no relationship that needed to be saved. They were all actively worshiping the one true God of heaven, yet they lacked the most important thing, Lord Jesus, in their heart. Amen. Their heart needed to be open. They needed to be born again. They needed to receive the Spirit of God. They needed to be born of the Spirit. They needed to be saved. And it has to happen with the heart, Lord working on the heart. And we see that in Lydia. You know, the Lord was working, I believe, in Cornelius. He was fasting and praying. The Lord was working in him. But he had to have someone come and bring the gospel to him. And then it goes on and tells us that just like Cornelius, you know, when he heard the word and he accepted the word, what did he do? He followed in baptism. Amen. And then the same thing that she said here that she did. And when she was baptized in her household, just like the Philippian jailer, I believe that she went home and they preached to her whole family and the Lord saved her family. The Lord was establishing a church there in Philippi. Amen. And so the Philippian jailer, we know, and his family were baptized. And so it says there, and she besought us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful, Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Oh, what a blessing to see. It says, you know, we read back there at Nicodemus, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them. You know, there was more than just Cornelius there. He'd invited his friends. You know, I believe the Lord, the Lord was, you know, bringing there an organization of people. He may be starting a church there, but he was bringing in certainly the elect. He was, you know, we sang that sheep, my sheep, hear my voice. I remember I was sitting there singing that. I remember my pastor saying a long time ago, they were his sheep before they ever heard. And I thought, that's the truth. They're lost sheep, but my sheep one day hear my voice. Nicodemus was a lost sheep. Cornelius was a lost sheep. Lydia was a lost sheep. And they heard one day. What a wonderful thing. The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard. Here in Lydia says in a certain woman in verse 14 named Lydia, the seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to hear. I hear the Lord speaking to you. You know, I gave you my testimony in the very beginning of this of these meetings. And I remember when the Lord spoke to me. I mean, first thing he spoke to me and told me and just made me feel guilty that I was not worthy. I wasn't worthy. For the first time in my life, saw myself as an unworthy sinner deserving of hell. That was the Lord speaking to me. That wasn't the devil telling me that. That was the Lord speaking to me. And he did so through the preaching of the word. And being a teacher of the word or having religion was not enough for Nicodemus. You know what the Lord said? Looking over in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, we find these verses here in verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." I mean, they were saying Lord. Nicodemus was saying Lord. I'm a believer. I'm worshiping the God of heaven. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." I think there's going to be a world of people in that today. World of people out there that say, you know, that are in false religions that have never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And says, "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you." I heard a preacher preach from that verse a while back, and it stuck in my mind, because he said, you know, if you're Arminian, he says, "I never knew you." He didn't say, "I knew you for a while, and then I didn't know you, and then I knew you again, and then I didn't know you, and I knew you again." Because, you know, if you're Arminian, you're going back and forth whether the Lord knows you or not. The Lord says, here he says, "I never knew you. You were never one of mine. You either are or you're not." He says, "I never knew you. You couldn't have been his, and he forgot about you. If you're one of his, you are. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." And then when we think about here, it says, "And whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Is there going to be many people that in the end that just everything falls apart because all they had was a taught religion? When you get that opportunity, when someone tells you that, "Well, I'm Presbyterian," you know, you might say, you know, Cornelius was a religious man too. Nicodemus was a very religious man. You know, Lydia went to prayer meetings all the time. But all of them needed Jesus Christ. Being a good person is not just enough. Cornelius was a good man. You know, this world today, the devil's put out a lie out there that, you know, if you're a good person, that's what most people think, you know. I'm going to get to judgment day, find out how good I was, and I'll make... You probably couldn't find a better man than Cornelius as far as what he was doing. As far as moral standards. You couldn't find a more religious man than Nicodemus. You probably couldn't find a more faithful person than Lydia, who was worshiping and going to prayer meeting. But they all had one thing they were lacking, the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, it says, "So they that are in the flesh cannot please God." There is no way, you know, you can go through the motions of worship, but you're not pleasing God. You're not worshiping God. And it says, in verse 9, it says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." And then there's an if. I got that if in my Bible underlined in verse 9. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." You see, that's the key, whether the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. And that's what the Lord opened Lydia's heart and saved her soul. The Lord heard Nicodemus' prayer and sent someone to him, and the Holy Spirit came down and saved his soul. And what you need tonight is faith in Jesus Christ. What you need is what the Lord told Nicodemus. You must be born again. You must believe with all your heart, trusting on him and him alone. You must have heard the Holy Ghost speak to your heart. You need the working in your heart of the Lord, just like Lydia did. You need the pouring out of the Spirit, like it happened upon Cornelius. And you need to be born of the Spirit like Nicodemus. And so the question is, has that happened in your life? You know, if it has, we talked to you about having that earnest. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, we mentioned this early. I want to just turn and read it. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth." Someone brought the word, the gospel truth. The Lord opened your ears after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know what? That means you're sealed. You know, a king would seal something and put his seal on it. You know what? God puts his seal on you. You're one of mine. He does that. He puts that. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and that's earnest. It says there in the next verse. It says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's that down payment that He says, you know what? I'm coming back for you. You're one of mine. I've given you that. Do you have that this morning? If you do, you know when it happened to you.